Welcome back to Two Gals in a Glass Half Full. I am very, very excited about today's guest. It's a topic that I am so passionate to learn more about, and it's something I'd love to do more in my future. So, really excited about that. But before we get started, Dr. Jess, what is in your glass?
So this morning I'm still working on my cup of coffee. So I have it in this like little insulated mug because it takes me forever to finish one cup. So that way I try and keep it a little bit on the warmer side. So I've got a low acidic bean and I do a little bit of half and half. I like to brew some cinnamon in there as well. So yeah, just it's actually a good cup of coffee.
That says when you brew the cinnamon, do you put it like in with the grounds or do you put it in the coffee after it's made?
I put it in with the grounds and then it just kind of percolates through. And so I like the little bit of the flavor that it adds. Cinnamon is beneficial as well, but it just kind of gives it that like you feel like you've got like a nice cup of coffee, you get a good bean. So Dr. Bobby, what's in your glass?
So I am sporting some just water this morning. I was gonna make some coffee, but I just ran out of time. So water it is.
Got it. Hey, that's okay. So with us today, we've got a special guest. His name is Jason. And so before we do intros, Jason, what's in your glass?
I have coffee.
Love
Coffee
it.
with either drinking dark, but today I'm drinking it with raw milk cream.
Nice.
So
And I think we'll get to know a little bit more about that raw milk cream because of what you do and your lifestyle, which is why we want to interview you. So Jason, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Jason. I'm from Sow the Land YouTube channel. And we homestead in the mountains of North Carolina with me, my wife, and my 12-year-old. And we've been doing it for the last 8 years. Originally from the Los Angeles area. And now we grow a lot of our own food, and we just moved to a larger property, 14 acres currently, and just trying to rehab this. It was a rundown horse property, and we're trying to make it into our family farm and just trying to figure that out. And coming from the city, we didn't know a whole lot of stuff. So it's been definitely a learning experience for us in the past 8 years, but we've grown a lot as a family and just trying to figure it out and make it work for us.
I love that.
Yes, I would love to kind of do one day what you're doing. So, super, super awesome. What made you guys decide to leave Southern California and head over and kind of start that lifestyle of homesteading and growing your own food?
Yeah, so for us, it definitely started when I just turned 30. This is in 2010, and I got diagnosed with cancer, and I had a Hodgkin's lymphoma, and that was just such a huge shock for us because that was just unexpected. And it was then that we just try to figure out like what's healthy, what we should be eating and cutting out of our diets and things like that. I did 6 months of chemo, and that was it. I've been in remission ever since. And it was during those 6 months where we're just it was just kind of turned our life upside down and try to we started thinking differently, not only about our health but also what makes us happy. Is my current job situation, was that making me happy? Just different things you start to question. Once you start questioning what food you eat, it kind of leads you down this rabbit hole of what other things that I should be questioning. We started slow. We felt like we felt like we were eating healthy at the time, but looking back, we weren't. We still eat fast food, and I only eat fast food on the weekends, so I'm healthy. Or I have a salad once in a while, so I'm healthy, but I guess really we weren't. And so, we just started figuring it out ourselves. I remember the onco my last oncology appointment. We asked her, what now? Because after doing, chemo and all these tests and scans that I had to do, it was very traumatic. And I always thought like, well, what now? Now that I'm in remission, I felt like, is there a nutrition plan I should follow? Is, something. And she was just like, no, like nothing. This is it. You're done. Go live, back to your normal life. And it just kind of didn't sound right to us. And so from there, we just decided just to kind of take control of our own health and try to figure it out ourselves. Looking back at it now, it was almost like I wanted her, because she's an oncologist or a doctor, like I wanted her to tell me how to eat. Like I wanted her to tell me what to do. Like I didn't want to figure it out, but we needed to figure it out for ourselves and try to take control of that. And so it was then we just decided to, it kind of snowballed into this, like wanting to grow our own food, because we're like, if how are we going to really know what's in our food? We need to grow it. And not having a farming, background, or didn't know anyone who grew food. This was just like maybe an hour outside of LA that we, born and raised, me and my wife, met in high school, and, born and raised in the same area, never lived anywhere else, and, didn't know anything about chickens or nothing. And we had a little backyard, made some raised garden beds, bought some plant starts, threw them in the ground, and man, growing that first tomato, it was such a satisfying thing, from a seed to you're eating it at your dinner table with your family. And it's such an amazing experience. And so all of a sudden you grow that first tomato plant and you're like, you feel like a farmer, So it kind of, from there, we just fell in love with the idea of growing our own food. And we started joking around of like, what if we had more land? Maybe we could grow our own chickens and have our own eggs or maybe meat. What would that look like? And it became this joke for us because, we're born and raised in this area. All our family, grandma lived on the next street over. And it was like a joke. Like, yeah, we would, it sounds cool, but would we really enjoy it? Would we really like it? I don't think that would happen. So at the same time, all this was happening. I mean, it took probably a good 6 years of developing this homesteading mindset in the city that we were doing, like trying to figure out how to grow food, how to can, how to make pickles, stuff like this. Like we weren't used to this kind of thing. My wife, she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and try to figure out how to cook real meals, and not buy frozen meals at the store and stuff like that. Like try to figure all that out, how to make broth. And at the same time, my job, I did the computer drafting, architectural stuff for the last 17 years. And that was kind of eating away at me, my wife, she was in the fashion industry and she would drive 3 hours in traffic into LA, there and back. And that got, she was tired of that, And so, you start questioning all these things. And so eventually we started to get rid of stuff in our house. We had just bought a 4-bedroom house and we had this thing going on of like, well, one day we're going to find some land somewhere and we're going to homestead or grow more food and be farmers. And so we're not going to need all this stuff, right? Like we had, bedrooms with couches and lamps that we would never even go in. And so we started to live more minimally, have this, I guess homesteading mindset level, like paring down to one car, and got rid of a car and try to get rid of our debts. And it was still a big joke of like, well, we're going to one day find land, whatever that looked like. And so over the course of 6 years, we got rid of a lot of stuff and we're almost feeling like we were kind of like living minimal, like minimalistic style. And so eventually nothing was on the walls, right? Like we had one couch, we had our daughter, she was around 4 years old when we left California, and all we had was our kitchen table in our house. And we thought, okay, if we get rid of this kitchen table, we're not going to have anywhere to eat. And I think we're pretty serious about finding some land somewhere. And so then that's what we did. We sold the kitchen table, pretty much nothing in our house. And shortly thereafter, we sold our house. And we're saying, okay, we're going to go do this. We're going to go find some land somewhere. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know where that's going to be, but we're going to try to figure that out. And so the plan is we're going to live with mom for a year, and we're going to go see where we can, what we can find. You know, we're looking for maybe an acre. You know, I wasn't too sure about that either. And, you know, we just went the following year, we just went on vacation to different places. And, you know, we learned very quickly that California is very expensive, and there was probably no way we could even afford an acre. And also, I really wanted out of my office job. I didn't know what that looked like. So about a year later, we vacationed out east to Asheville, North Carolina area. And you know, we really felt it's a good sense of community out here. There's a lot of local small farms, a lot of people doing what we wanted to do, which was grow food. And you know, it's just very different than California. You know, there's, you know, tons of water, green, and all this. And so we really felt drawn to the area that we needed to be here. And of course, you know, that was the furthest away that we wanted to be. We didn't have any family or connections or friends really. You know, we just, I don't know, we felt drawn to the area. So, you know, we basically sold most of our stuff, and we left. And we had, with the money we saved from the house that we sold in California, we purchased 1.5 acres with a rundown mobile home. And we're, I mean, we weren't sure how it was going to work, or even if we were going to like it, right? Like, 'cause we never even been on the East Coast prior. I think the furthest east we've ever been was New Mexico, like even on vacation. So
This is
we
like
didn't,
way on the other side for
yeah,
you.
it's like the furthest you could possibly go, further, far away from family. And it was just such a huge, I mean, it took a lot of effort to do that. And then also my job, right? Like, what am I going to do with my job? So, you know, for some reason, when you get cancer and you go through that, a lot of things don't tend to not matter anymore. You know, what matters is, you know, your health and your family and just being together. And that's it. And so I decided just to quit my job. You know, I'm just going to quit. You know, like, I'm an adult. I don't have to ask for permission. You know, that was probably the first time I've actually felt like an adult, was when I decided just to quit my job. And of 17 years, and it was a nice, comfortable job. I mean, it was easy. And so we just quit and left. And the plan was we're gonna, well, we wanted to grow a lot of our food, and I wanted to figure out how to stay at home and just work together as a family on whatever that looks like. You know, I wasn't too sure what that looked like yet.
It sounds like the cancer diagnosis, and we always talk about your why and why are you doing something, and that kind of gave you a very strong why of, following your dreams and your passions. And
For
when we
sure.
have a really strong why, it makes everything that follows, like quitting your job and kind of moving away from family, a little bit easier, because it's like you're something you're so passionate and feel so strongly about.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so scary. It's like the fear of the unknown, right? I was like, well, what's the worst that could happen? Well, not find a job, and we just move back in with mom. You know? That's not what we want to do. It did feel like a sense of we're taking a step backwards, you know, because we bought the rundown mobile home, and we're have no job, no careers all of a sudden. And you know, it felt very scary and not sure what was going to happen. You know, we had a 4-year-old, you know, like, what am I going to do? And you know, we're just trying to figure it out. And you know, the goal was not to be back in an office job, not to ever go back to an office job, and not to and to work together as a family and grow our own food. And we've been doing it ever since. And I've never been back to an office job, and somehow whatever it is we're doing, it's working.
I think that you said the fear, it's scary to like leave your job, leave a life, stops a lot of people from following their dreams and actually acting on what they want to do. So
Yes.
commend you for actually going and doing that.
And that's the hard part. I mean, it really, I mean, coming from, for me, like, I'm not, never considered myself like an entrepreneur, or I was not that at all. Like, I was just, always told you need one good job, go to school, get the degree, get one good job, get a house with a white picket fence, get married. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I've always been taught, and that's what I, exactly what I did. And so I was very happy and comfortable doing that. So having, so making the shift, it was super hard for me to do that.
Well, I think that's like common with a lot of people, though. It's like we're in this non-sustainable way of living, but to change it up is so hard and uncomfortable that it, you kind of just stay in what is you don't like that's uncomfortable because that mountain that you have to cross to get to the other side is like it just feels overwhelming. So like
Does, yeah.
it, yeah, no, I totally get that. I mean, it, yeah. I didn't start homestead. We do a lot of we grow a lot of our own food. Our goal is to be off the grid at our house. So we're kind of slowly working in that direction, as we can afford it, like as we invest in our property. And so like I totally get that. But then like, for me, like starting my own clinic, right? Like it's way easier for me to stay here. Like I'm earning money, I'm just treating patients, but I'm not super happy. And so it's like, well, what would happiness look like for me? And I love what I do. And so, like, that mountain to climb to get to the other side was a lot. And, like, there's days I was like, I think I'm just going to throw up. This is scary. I probably should just throw up a little bit. Like, I'm pretty sure it's like right here. When I think about it too much, like, what if? What if I fail? What if it doesn't work? What if? What if? What if? But then you just kind of have to go back to what's my why? Like, is my why for real? Is it based on values that are going to be beneficial for me as a human, for my family? And if that why is good, then like you put your foot forward. You don't know if it's going to catch you, but like if your why is legit, like it, doesn't mean it's easy, but it'll work.
I remember, we talk about what you're talking about, what ifs, and it's like, what if this, what if this, what if this? And I just remember one day someone looked at me and goes, but what if it does? And like, we're so focused on the what if it doesn't. And that just struck me when they said that, but what if it does? And like, I guess I need to train my thought process into that, that type of thinking
Definitely.
and going after it. But I wanted to go back on one thing you had said after the oncology. You said when you were like done and you said, what's next? And I think so many people, well, one, I think that's a little bit with our healthcare. We should be there being like, hey, let's try, eat naturally, eat like from the garden. Like we should be sharing that information in healthcare. There's enough research out there that supports that train of thought. And we know certain things that we eat are damaging to our body. So one, healthcare should do that. But two, you're saying you were waiting for someone to tell you what to do. And I think that's our natural human instinct is we don't want to do the work, like we want to make it easy. Like just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it type thing. But I think there's so much that we learn in doing it ourselves that is such an important and valuable lesson that we don't get if someone just tells us.
Right. And I think just maybe because she was the doctor, so I thought like she had more knowledge than me. So you should be telling me what to do. But I mean, with all the information that's out there today, like, man, we can figure this out, you know?
Yeah, and I think that is part of cancer is like people that are trained to treat cancer, they treat cancer. Like and that's it.
All
Right?
right.
So that follow-up afterwards, this is part of what I see in my clinic with my practice. I do a lot with breast cancer and women after breast cancer with all the stuff that happens. But nobody like that's why I got that specialty is because I would see women like 7, 10 years later with like all sorts of like difficulty with shoulders and I mean all sorts of stuff that was never needed, like you don't have to live like that. But that follow-up afterwards of like, okay, now that the cancer's okay, like getting you back to being like a fully functioning human that can one do preventative things for something in the future, prevention isn't like a big part of what we talk about in healthcare. It's treat the illness and then we're done, instead of let's treat the illness and then talk about prevention for what comes forward. And so that's something that Bobby and I are pretty passionate about. And that's a big reason why we do this podcast, is just what are all of the lifestyle changes that we can make one small step at a time in order to lead that more preventative style of a lifestyle, so that we're not so reactive all the time. Let's just wait for the next ball to drop and knock us in the head. Like, what if we just like took a step to the left and let that one drop over there? You know, like what if we just did that? And what if we kept doing that a little bit and then we get hit with less things, you know? Like we're just getting out of the lanes of traffic where their cars are trying to mow you down, you know, get on the sidewalk, come over here. Cheaper.
That's great, yeah.
As you have grown your homestead, and you said, I know you recently, a few years ago, right, moved to like the 14 acres, much
Yeah,
bigger
it's
than
been
what you
2 years.
had 2 years. Okay.
Yeah.
During that time, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've run into? In working that land, growing that land.
So yeah, I mean, it was important for us to, you know, we started on 1.5 acres, and the goal with that was like, we're gonna see how to do this, you know, how to grow food and, you know, different climates and stuff like that than we were used to. And plus also getting or figuring out how to find our community, you know, that was important for us too, to get connected with people. So after 6 years of on that 1.5 acres, we felt like we outgrew it. You know, we had started growing a lot and trying, we learned a lot, and, you know, we're started raising bigger animals, and we're like, man, I think we're ready to, you know, level up, I guess. And so, you know, we found the 14 acres a couple of years ago, and, you know, going from 1.5 acres to 14 acres, it's huge. I mean, when we first moved on the 1.5, it was like, this was huge to us. You know, and we're not used to this. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so big. But then after 6 years, you're like, okay, it's so small. So the 14, it feels like, I don't know, it feels like I'm the park ranger of our own park or something. I joke that I'm just the janitor here, you know. But you know, the challenge of trying to figure that out, like where to put the chickens, where to put the garden, you know, when you're on a small acres like one, you know, there's pretty, it's easier to know where to put a garden, you know, because you probably only have really one spot to put it. But with 14, you're like, I don't know where everything goes. And so just finding that way to like utilize the 14 acres and not know that, you know, we could start small still and then grow out and have the room and space to grow out and not feel like that I need to utilize all 14 acres today. You know, it's baby steps of like continuing to grow out and figuring out how to run everything and where we want everything. So that part is a challenge. And being that it's a horse property, the horses can be very I guess they tend to eat the land down pretty close. So like, and they compact the dirt a lot. So there's very compacting soil. You know, everything's just very hard and no topsoil anywhere. So I'm trying to rebuild that and reminding myself that it's all patience and things take time. That's probably one of the hardest parts to think about, that it's patience. Like we got to have patience. And so that, in that part, it's definitely hard to do.
I think anybody that gardens, like I had this advice given to me like a while ago by, you know, somebody who was older than me, and you know, she was like, it takes 10 years to establish a garden. And I was like, what? To establish? She goes, that's just to establish a healthy garden. And then from there, you'll actually start really understanding how that garden's going to function for you. And now I get that. Like, I totally get that. And it's when you reframe your thinking with, you know, because your seasons, right? So like you've got everything that you prep for, and then you've got your spring, and then you got your summer, you got your fall. So like really, if you're testing a theory, right, like it might take you a full year to really see what comes from that one theory. Like, did this really do through the cycle what I thought it was going to do? Did it survive the winter? Did it do well in the spring? Did it hold up to the heat in the summer? And so like every single thing you do, like it takes so long.
I mean, especially when you're on a newer piece of land too, like it's probably best when you first move on a property to not do anything. And all you there is to observe. You know, you got to observe what your land's doing. Like when it rains, where does the water go? You know, does it flood in a certain spot? What if you were going to put your garden in that spot? You know, and then what next thing you know, it rains and it floods. Like, but you wouldn't know that because you haven't lived there long enough. And that's so hard to do because, you know, you move to a new land, you're like, man, I want to get all the chickens, I want to get all the animals, I want to put the garden in, you know, you want to do everything. And you can do some things, but try not to go all in and do everything because what if it's in the wrong spot? What if things happen and you won't know that until you've been there a little bit. So.
So like each of those test phases, oh man, but it's like, but in a good way, it actually forces us to slow down and not get that immediate, gratification of like, I did this and I got that, right? Because that's like, as humans, like, I'm hungry, I'm gonna eat some sugar, ooh, I feel good, right? And so to like be able to like pause and say like, I'm willing to put my energy in and wait for the return. Like you're raising your kid to think that way too, right? And so I think that is like hugely beneficial for like us as humans to like understand that like some things really are going to take a longer amount of time, but you only get there if you do the work and have the patience to just really set up that foundation correctly. Because what you're still setting up your foundation. I mean, you're within your first 10 years, right?
For
Like,
sure.
and you started on ground that was like needed rehab, so oh. But
Yeah, I know.
it's a good thing that you're doing for that soil. Can you imagine like the impact you're having on like your whole greater community just by you rehabbing that soil? Like that alone is beneficial. Then
Oh, yeah.
obviously being productive on top of that, like that's really cool. I kind of been like geeking out about soil recently. It's like kind of I start talking to people and they're like, I don't care that much about soil. I'm like, how do you not? Soil is so great.
Yeah, when you garden, like you start thinking about all these things, it's like a snowball thing, you know, like you start asking questions and figuring th other things out. Next thing you know, next thing you know, you're selling all your stuff and leaving this and buying land somewhere. I
Absolutely.
don't know.
So tell me, what has been like one of the the biggest benefits that you've noticed with moving to this new property? I mean, we've talked about the frustrations, and that's going to come with anything. That's with any challenge. But like, what are you already seeing as benefits?
I mean, definitely just working in the land and being together as a family, doing it. You know, we kind of have this common goal. We're all working together doing it, and we're all at home. We all, you know, we're together every day, all day. You know, because you know we homeschool our daughter, or my wife does, and you know we're out there doing it. Also, I mean, I think. Grow, I mean, another why. I mean, yeah, the why was, you know, my cancer, but like the initial why was we just want to grow our own food, as much food as we can. You know, we're not looking to be 100%, you know, all of our food, but, you know, maybe half that or, you know, and it took a good 6 years to say, oh, we grew 100% of our own meat. And so that's where we're at today. You know, it took 6 years to get there, but we did. And, you know, now we do, you know, we grow 100% our own meat and, you know, we're working on our vegetables too. But, in that aspect, I mean, you see that there when we have, you know, our freezer's full of all that meat and that means we're doing something.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And then what kind of projects do you have coming up? I mean, I can only imagine, right? I know my mind would be spinning if I was like on 14 acres. I'd just be like, oh my gosh. So I can understand where you're like, I just want to get started. But like, what's the more immediate projects?
So immediate right now is I have a 72-foot high tunnel greenhouse. So the plastic high tunnel that I'm working to putting together, and hopefully we can start planting in that this year. That and fencing, we have a 7-acre pasture area that I mean, there was already kind of fencing here, but it was for horses. So I'm trying to redo that and see what I have to hopefully, get that going because, we're starting to get bigger animals. We have some cooney pigs, which are too cute. I don't know if you want to raise cute pigs because eventually we're going to put them in our freezer. And so that she's about to have baby piglets any day now. So
Oh, how
we're kind of
exciting.
on baby watch there. But really for now, it's the high tunnel, it's the fencing, and yeah, I mean, when you have the bigger property, again, like it's patience and it's hard not to, I'm trying not to get in massive debt over everything, because it does cost, it's much cost money to do everything and just to be patient and maybe do one thing a year. Last year we did a rain catchment system on top of our land to collect that rainwater. And I have a big 1,000 gallon tank and I haven't used it yet because I just kind of finished it at the end of last year. So I'm looking forward to using that to utilize that the water for to water our animals as we get them.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think that's one of the big goals that we're working on too at our house. We've got some rain barrels set up off the house, but like we want to do a big cistern. And so like all of the watering for like the entire property would come out of that. But again, it all costs money. So like there's just, we start with things that we can afford, that we can manage, and then grow out from there. So like when I say I want to be off the grid, it's not next year. Because financially the upfit for everything we want to do. But like you just each year you break it out into like manageable chunks that you can handle financially, time commitments, everything else. And then like you're always, because then you look back a couple of years and you're like, oh dang, we really have made progress, right? Like we're not where we want to be, but we've come further than we were. So, right?
I know sometimes it might not feel that way, like it sometimes you're kind of just trudging along and you're like, man, I feel like I'm not getting anything done. But if you get a little bit something done, 1% every single day, get something done, and eventually you're gonna look back and be like, wow, we did get a lot done.
And
Or
it's hard. It's
are you
hard
invite
work.
friends over? If you invite friends over that haven't been or been at your place for a long time. Usually they're like, oh wow, you did a lot done, and that makes you feel good.
I say recently, but I guess it's not so recently. I have a 9-month-old now, and one of the hardest things after having her is I'm so used to like having a list and getting this done, done, like being so productive. And then you have a baby, and there's no such thing as being productive. There's no such thing as creating your own schedule because your schedule is what they want. And you can plan to go to bed at 7:30, and last night at 10:30, we're still awake. So, I think one of the best things that someone told me or I read somewhere was like one thing a day. Like for me, like set a schedule and I have one priority. And if I got that done that day, I was successful, regardless of the list of 1,000 other things I wanted to get done. Like I get to choose one thing. I mean, that's been very helpful. So I think that's kind of the same idea, like just one thing at a time.
I like it. So as far as like if people are super interested in learning more about your journey and like following you on this like path that you're on, how can people find you? Like, how can they stay up with like your story?
So we document our life, and we have been for the past, 8 years or so, on our Sow the Land YouTube channel. Where we put stuff on there, and also we have our sowtheland.com website where we have some created online workshops that we started doing, and we also do in-person workshops here of teaching people how to butcher chickens, live more self-sufficiently, and also we're on Sowtheland on Instagram, Facebook, and all that.
I'll make
I
sure
like that
to.
with the courses, you know? So being able to teach people so they don't have to you can speed up their learning curve, right?
That's the progression, right? Like when we started, I feel like there wasn't many options, or maybe there was, and I just didn't know about them, but I feel like there wasn't those kind of options. But I feel like that's the baby steps of growing your own food, is like you watch the YouTube videos, right? You get caught up in the rabbit hole of homesteading YouTubers or gardeners, and you watch all those, and then you're like, okay, that seems pretty cool. And then maybe you go buy the books, and or maybe you watch the documentaries. You're like, yeah, it still seems pretty cool. And then maybe you find a local workshop, like an in-person workshop of how to do something, and you're like, I'm gonna go take this workshop. They seem to know what they're doing. I want them to teach me how to do, garden or, butcher chickens or whatever. And then you take the workshop, and then you find out, you get your hands dirty, and then you find out, hey, can I really do this? And hopefully, after you take a workshop, you'll feel more empowered and feel like, yeah, you can do this, and it brings it kind of down, not so there's not a mystery about it, you're more comfortable around it, and then maybe you're ready to go all in and buy the chickens or grow the garden. So those are kind of the baby steps, I feel.
Absolutely. No, I totally get that. I think you're going to be more successful that way too, right? Because
Yes.
you're not just putting random seeds in dirt that maybe isn't right for them or doesn't have enough sun or all the things where you get started on something but then it doesn't go well right away, and so then you're like, oh, this doesn't work for me, or I'm not good at insert blank, right?
Right.
But nobody's good at anything when they just start.
Yes.
Like you're not. Like I've got
No.
my oldest is 6 and a half, and so this is something that we kind of talk about a lot, right? Like this is the first time you've done X, Y, or Z. So of course you're not good. Like I wasn't good at this the first time I did it.
Right. And it's
So
kind of hard to think about that when you're, when you are watching some of these YouTube videos that you're like, oh my gosh, look at their garden. It's so awesome. And then you're like, look at my garden. It's so sad. But you don't know that, yeah, they've been doing it for, 10 years or whatever, and that's why it's like that. Your garden will get there, but you have to start and get that going first, and then eventually you will.
And I think having somebody that'll be honest with you to not have this video that's just really flashy, that's like, oh, hey, look how easy this is. Because that's like
Yes.
so much of our social media is like, here's this easy thing to do in the garden. Here's the best way to get blah, 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 right? But they didn't give you that backstory, right? So then we just get caught in this I just want this easy way to do everything instead of it's actually going to be work, right? And it's actually going to take patience and it's going to take time. And you're not going to succeed right away. You're going to make all sorts of mistakes, but those mistakes are actually how you learn. Like every single time you make that mistake, you probably won't make that same one again. Or
Right.
then you do. But
Yeah.
that's how you grow. And then it's now yours. It's not somebody else's. And so I think, again, just having that honest conversation. It's like, yeah, like I mean, we're rehabbing this land. It's not the best right now.
Yeah.
That's great. Like I love that. I think that honesty is it's key. And I think the more people that are out there saying this is hard and worth it, and I have so many benefits for my family and my health and all these other things, and it's hard
Yeah,
and frustrating sometimes.
for sure.
Awesome. So, Jason, thank you so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it. I love these I love conversations like this. I think it's really healthy. Please, everybody, follow him. We'll put the all this stuff about all of his links and everything. So the land will be all kind of linked up, end up in the description below. And if you like what we're saying and follow us as well, we're on all the social media channels. So, share this episode with somebody that you might think in your life, oh, they could really benefit from hearing this. Don't keep it for yourself. Share it. And, hopefully we'll continue to spread the word that lifestyle change is worth it. And that's the whole point. It really, really is worth it, even though it can be scary and hard. And worth it. All
Yeah, thanks for
right.
having me on. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.